August 17th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. The law from the Old Testament required people to sacrifice animals for their sins, and the people believed that. And the New Testament shed a new light on that matter, saying that the Old Testament was a foreshadow of the things to come. If there is a light and someone is standing in the light, you will see the shadow. The shadow is not the real thing, so if you slap around the shadow, you will not affect the real person. But the shadow is not completely useless either, because by looking at the shadow, you get an idea about the real person, like the shape and the size. So you could learn something about the real person, but it is not the real person. So this is how we have to treat the law in the Old Testament. If we don't keep that in mind, people start focusing on the wrong things, like this cow has a spot and not suitable for the sacrifice. And the lamb or cow were used for burnt offering. These animals represent Christians because we are called sheep. And burning the sacrifice represent our flesh being burned by the Holy Spirit fire. And that's what's the most important thing. What kind of sacrifice we need to bring to the altar, its size, shape, and color are not important. As for the sacrifice, it also says that we need to bring in the sacrifice of worship and thanksgiving. So serving God and His church, or sharing your testimony even, is also considered sacrifice. And what we need to remember is whatever sacrifice we give unto the Lord, our flesh need to be burned down completely. I pray in the morning when I wake up. The church I used to attend had a morning prayer at 5 a.m. And I don't wake up that early now, but I do wake up and pray in the morning. Now, it was first difficult for me, and I had to give up the idea of praying in bed. Because if I'm still in bed, I might fall asleep, and I don't know if I'm sleeping or praying. So I decided to get up and take a walk as I pray. So when I'm walking, I don't have to worry about falling asleep. So that's what I've been doing for some years, and then someone from Shikoku once told me that he's doing the same thing after he heard my message. Because I always say in my messages that I pray as I walk, so he got inspired and he's doing the same now. So please understand that most of the things written in the Old Testament are only foreshadow of things to come, which is in the New Testament. Verse 2 and 3. For them would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins, but in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. These passages are saying that if you have to offer sacrifice year after year, you're not really cleansed, nor the sacrifice has the power to purify us. Verse 4. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. The passage has a double meaning, I think. First of all, it says the blood of animals do not cleanse us. And the goat in the Bible is never used in a positive way. There's a passage that God will separate people from the sheep from the goat. And God raises the sheep for feeding the hungry and clothe. God praises the sheep for feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, and then God tells the goat to depart from him because they did none of that. So it cannot be just any blood of any animals. If you give the wrong blood, wrong sacrifice, it will continue to remind us of our sins every year, as the passage says, and it does us no good. Jesus says the wine for the communion is for the blood covenant. And blood represents the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus is the Holy Spirit, which cleanses us. And it cannot be just any blood or any spirit. If you use the blood of the goat, just an example, not only it will not only it will not purify you, but it might also bring back the memory of the past sins. So if you go to any revival meetings here in Japan, we receive some ministers from the United States like Benny Hinn or Rodney Howard Brown, and a lot of people attend those meetings. But if the revival is caused by the wrong spirit, you will not be purified, but the sin's grip on you might get stronger. I feel like such message is hidden here, so we always have to test the spirit. I have mentioned this before, but more than a decade ago, I watched this video from Toronto Blessing, and I edited those videos and then made a copy to warn Christians and then gave out and also sold a lot of them. If you want to watch the video now, and now it's on DVD, I can send it to you for 1,000 yen, shipping fee included. And when there was a revival at Toronto and Pensacola, there were some Japanese churches, church people who attended there, and I heard many stories from them. Some said although they went to the revival, they could not be set free from their sins, or even got worse, she said. And this was a testimony of a Japanese lady, but I also heard other people's similar testimony on the internet saying that they could not be free from their bondage, but it only got worse after attending the revival. So the blood of the bulls and goats cannot take away sins. Just about any spirit would not do the work of the Holy Spirit, but it will only bring you down. I also heard that from a pastor from another church, that there was a prayer meeting that everyone was supposed to be free and strong, and those who attended the meeting became worse after that. When I was younger, I did not doubt anything, and I attended many Pentecostal conferences and meetings, whenever they had a guest from overseas, like Mr. and Mrs. Hunter, the healing ministers, and then there was another minister from South America. I don't remember the name, but he ran a company which manufactures bolts and nuts, and I went to many conferences, including Benny Hinn. So we have to be careful, and we have to test every spirit before we expose ourselves to it. Verse 5 and 6, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but body you have prepared for me, it burned, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Yes, God asked for burnt offering. We cannot just do the work with our flesh. We have to be infused with the Spirit of Christ based upon His own sacrifices of His flesh. We cannot serve Him with our flesh, that we have to understand. I myself experienced this. I know I told you this story many times. When I was in my 20s, I went to a Christian summer camp with my church, and on the first day I was drowned and almost died. And I got mad at God, saying, I went to the camp to serve you, but why had I had to be drowned on the first day? I didn't understand then, but later I figured what God was trying to say to me, I think. That He was trying to say to me that He never asked for my work of flesh. And something like what the verse 6 was saying. So, of course, working for a church is not a bad thing, and it is better to serve at your church than committing a crime somewhere else. But God wants something else. I didn't understand then, since I was young and also young in Christ. But the incident really became a catalyst for me to really search for what God was really wanted me to do. So even if you're wondering why God is not using you in a mighty way, everything you're experiencing now will also benefit you, as the Bible says, all things works for good for those who love God. And all things means all things, not only good things and favors you have experienced, but also the bad things that you have experienced will also benefit you. Verse 7 to 10. Then I said, behold, I have come in a volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, and he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This, the first, indicates the offerings and services people have given to God, and the second is the body of Christ. When the second one came, the first sacrifice was abolished. So when we live as a Christian, we are to embrace the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we are not to live in the Old Testament belief that our work and our effort will satisfy God. That's why I was drowned, because I was so determined to do the work for God, and this is what the Bible is saying. One thing that you need to know, is that Bible does not say everything plainly in one place. All the information is scattered throughout the Bible. The Bible is not like the study guide that we used when we are in school. So in that sense, this book is not so reader friendly. This book will give you when you ask. It says, ask and it will be given to you, and seek and you shall find, and knock it shall be opened to you. And if you're not asking for it, you will not find it. But if you ask for it, God will give it to you. God will give you the understanding of the Bible. And those who are not seeking the truth, it will become a stumbling block. So here again, this is a narrow path. But I would like all of us to pursue the truth and the life and the word. As for offering the whole body, let's look at the Romans chapter 8 verse 1. This section explains more about why Christ's offering was enough for us. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. So this sacrifice was prepared by God for us. Jesus was crucified on the cross so that our sinful nature could be crucified and die with Christ Jesus. This is something we should do. But Christ already did it for us. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So Christ died for us so that our sin nature could die, and his resurrection also means our resurrection. And when we are resurrected with Christ by faith, our hands, feet, mind, and thoughts will all be used as his instrument to do his work. The Bible says that he has prepared a body for us, and we have to receive it by faith. If we do not receive it by faith, his death would be in vain. He did not die and resurrect for his own glory. He did it for us. But if you don't understand that, and if you don't receive that by faith, there is no growth in your walk in Christ. I used to be so influenced by the carnal and worldly thoughts. I was fixated with certain ideas, but when I opened up myself to God, believing that God gives me a new heart and a renewing of a mind, I started understanding more and started receiving more revelations. All the things that I write for the ministry are not for me, nor they're my ideas. I could never think of those things. Naturally, I'm a person with a small thinking, but the topics that we deal for the ministry is about the end time and the faith of the entire church. There's such a big pictures that we are dealing with, and they're not from me. And Jesus has given us a new body, so we will be able to see and hear what God wants us to see and hear. And then we will read from the book of Hebrews 10, verse 10 again. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It does not matter who you are or where you are. His one-time sacrifice was enough when you believed it and received it by faith. Some people do not believe that, and those people will never see such transformation in their lives. But let us not waste his sacrifice for us.